Now, some of you, upon that gospel reading, might have been thinking, I heard that before. I heard that 2 weeks before on Advent 3. And you know what, Father Christian? I heard you preach on that too. I say, well done. Why, yes, we did. Why, yes, I did. Trying to not anyone confuse John the Apostle John with John the Baptist John, who incidentally was not the light, but simply one who came to testify to the light, doing what he could do to decrease so the Son of God could increase. Y'all remember that? Oh, all right, I gotta get preaching then. So, inquiring minds might want to know, if we read this 2 weeks ago, dealing with the Baptist, the forerunner and witness to the Messiah, why are we hearing of it again today? Instead of maybe hearing a bit more about the Holy Family on this first Sunday after Christmas, which incidentally, down the street at St. William's, they're probably hearing a little bit more about what's coming up, the feast day tomorrow of the Holy Name, where there was a festival that would happen with every newborn child, and Mary and Joseph would have traveled with baby Jesus to the temple, which was commanded by a Jewish law, to go 8 days after the child was born and have the inaugural naming, right? Before the high priest, which he also, I think, did the circumcision. I'm glad we got rid of that in the priesthood. I'm just saying. I'm really glad. So the fact is, we liturgical churches don't vary much with our Sunday readings. If you go down to the Roman Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, the Lutheran Church, Presbyterian, Methodist, you probably will find similar or the same readings. But here on the first Sunday after Christmas, we do differ just a wee little bit. And we end up having more of a continuation of the celebration of the Nativity. Even though Jewish custom and the goings on with the Holy Family are very important and really good stuff to remember. Yet, beloved, and I say this every year, even though many people have now traded in their Christmas trees and their Christmas music and eggnog for streamers and noisemakers and champagne, ready to ring in the new year, we are still in the octave of Christmas. Did you know that? We are only today on day 7 of 12 of Christmastide. So, keep spinning those great Christmas records, Good King Wenceslas, and Joy to the World. If you don't have them, come to my office. I have them playing already this morning. Keep your Christmas mix playing through Alexa, because even though we have opened the Christmas stockings and finished up the last of the Christmas goose, we are only halfway through the octave of Christmas, with a whopper of a feast on its way, which incidentally, I'm also preaching. The Feast of the Epiphany, commemorating the arrival of the Magi to Bethlehem. You may have noticed that they haven't made their way yet to the Christmas creche, right? But they are on their way. They are in this place, and they are pointing their way with their eyes set on Jesus Christ. And we have our eyes set on God's invitation to the whole Gentile world, all non-Jews, the opportunity of a lifetime, truly a new beginning. As Paul says, a grafting in of wild olive shoots to the olive tree, becoming adopted sons and daughters of God with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob as our forefathers, and being co-inheritors of heaven with Jesus the Christ. Therefore, it is no mistake, and really not redundant, that we have once again John's prologue, speaking of the incarnate Word made flesh, on this first Sunday after Christmas. Rather, I think it fortuitous, because not only are we still way within the season of Christmas, but we are also on the cusp of New Year's. And really, there's no better way to ring in the new year than by mulling over some basic Christian doctrine and pondering questions like, what bearing does Jesus being born, God becoming incarnate some 2,000 plus years ago, have upon my life today? For I have all that I need. A good question, of one which many people are wrestling with today. You may know some who are wrestling with that question. So now that you know a little more of why we do what we do, which is really a good thing to know, I feel I can safely move on with this quote, this incarnate word from second century church father and apologist Saint Irenaeus. He said this. He said, God has become what we are, what I am, so that I, that we, might become what God is. Now it's bolded, italicized, underlined. I have to say it again. God has become what we are, what I am, so that we might become what God is. Now for further musing and chewing on such weighty words, here's another way to say it. In poetic form, from Anglican poet Christopher Wordsworth. He said this, God comes down that man may rise, lifted by him to the skies. Christ is Son of Man that we, sons of God, in him may be. So no matter whose words speak to you the best, the point is the same. The point, coincidentally, which John is also making in his prologue, the Logos hymn, and the same point that Paul is making in his letter to the Galatians today. The basic Christian understanding that God sent forth his Son, born of a flesh, just as we are, that we might be received as adopted sons and daughters of God. And therein, healing the rift, taking back what was lost, reclaiming the ancient relationship that existed between us and our Creator God before the fall and departure from the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3. I encourage you to go read it. It's all there in the beginning. After creation, God is walking in the Garden of Eden with his beloved creation of man and woman and beast, right? We're all there playing, having fun. But we see that lovely relationship with God becomes broken. And then there's that kicking out of mankind from the presence of God, with what, a flaming sword-wielding angel guarding the way so he can't get back in. Now, we could all stand here and point fingers. But what's done is done, right? We can't get back in. But also, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Merry Christmas to us. What's done is done. Through the incarnation, by God's incalculable love and grace, God became flesh. And the very people that God created, who had turned against him in the beginning, have been given a mulligan. A second chance, a do-over, right? But not only a first, but a second, and a third, and a fourth, and a thousandth chance to be lifted out of the grime and dust of the earth and up and out of our own brokenness to live as adopted sons and daughters of God, having undergone an enormous change in status from living dead to dead to self to living in him. Praise the Lord. So as we begin this new year and are possibly in the habit of making a New Year's resolution, may we simply resolve to become in an even greater way the new me, the new you, the new what we are. Something that Trappist monk, Cistercian of the Cistercian Order, Thomas Merton, also known as Father Lewis, challenged his incoming novices with when they came in. He said this, Thomas Merton, there is only one thing for anybody to become in life. There is no point in becoming spiritual. The whole thing is a waste of time. What you came here for is to become yourself, to discover your complete identity, to be you. The catch is that, of course, our full identity as monks and as Christians, if it's all of us, is Christ. Our full identity as Christians is Christ. It is Christ in each of us. I've got to become me in such a way that I am the Christ that can only be the Christ in me. There is a Lewis Christ, that must be brought to existence and hasn't matured yet. It has a long way to go. There is a Lewis Christ, a you Christ, a me Christ. Each one of us is called and graced to be our true self, the self that God has made us to be. The Christmas reality and the cause for merrymaking, for celebration, for lovely outdoor illumination, for gift exchanging, and all the rest is to rejoice that God came down so that we could rise. Or said another way, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That we might become the righteousness of God. Beloved, as the song goes, arise, shine, for your light has come. A people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and you will call him Emmanuel, God with us. So Merry Christmas, keep saying it, keeps people on their toes, makes them wonder a little bit. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. May the blessings of God fall upon you this new year as he becomes greater and we become less. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.